Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey everyone, just a few things before we get into today's episode. If you haven't gone and rated and reviewed this podcast, head over now. Go take a few seconds. I always want to hear from you and how I can best serve you guys. Which goes into the last thing before we get into this episode is I want to hear from you. I want to hear about what topics you want me to talk about. Who do you want me to bring on the show? What interests you? And you can just slide into my DMs on Instagram at Lo Wentworth, or you can send me an email, a good old-fashioned email at hello@lowentworth.com, because I really do want to hear from you and what you guys want to hear from, because this podcast, as much as it is selfish about me, learning about other women, using my own voice, it's for you guys. So with that, are you ready? Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode, Confessions. I am recording this on Monday night. Only a few short hours before it is due, because I've been avoiding this episode hardcore, even though it's got a fun little name, Be the Shot of Whiskey, but it's been challenging for me because birthday reflections, ownership of what I've created, what I've learned, how far I've come, another level of vulnerability for me, and that's why I've been putting it off. I mean, I have tried recording this so many times. I've made lists on top of lists, and then I ditched the list, and I tried recording it again. And none of the recordings felt right. They never felt right. It felt very chaotic because, one, I wasn't grounded. Two, I wasn't grounded. And three, I wasn't quite ready to face myself because I knew that there are a lot of emotions. And if you guys are like me and with astrology and stuff, like this week is a major week of shifting energy and releasing final things before 2020. And that's just amplified with my birthday being today when you're listening to this, or tomorrow since I'm talking about it. I mean, it's a full moon this week, and then you have the 12-12 portal. It's just check it out if you don't know what I'm talking about. Just Google it. Google is your friend, guys. And it's just a lot of shifting energy, and it's magnetic. It's amazing. It's awesome, but it also causes a lot of emotions, especially since it's in Gemini. Gemini, emotions, communication is key. Two different sides of every coin, but I digress. So here we go, guys. I've had a hell of a day. It's not even my birthday yet, and I'm just like, WTF, what is going on here? I went and saw my coach, who she does multiple things. She shifts my energy. She opens up my hips, but she also does life coaching with me, which really works for me because I'm someone who needs to get in her body to release whatever is coming up for me in that moment. And I was really ungrounded when I was talking about this episode. And then I got really angry. I don't know why I whispered just then, but I did. I got super angry. And had a lot of anger that was built up that I was avoiding. And so then she had me do an exercise that required me taking a baseball bat to a pillow. And ironically, not ironically, but interesting enough, it took me 29 swings before I finally surrendered to my emotions. Now, If it was just 29 swings in general, that wouldn't have any significance whatsoever. But since I turned 29, that's why. There's a lot of stuff that came up for me. There was self-judgment. There was self-beat up, which is self-judgment. There was shame, anger, self-doubt, frustration. It all in those worrying emotions and stuff I was trying to avoid not feeling, but yet I know I needed to feel, but I wasn't quite ready or grounded yet to release that. And I mean, the night before I did a reading on myself, tarot card reading, because I'm a cool kid like that. I told you guys, I am woo and weird over here. So I did that, and I asked the universe to support me in releasing whatever I needed to let go of as a 28-year-old so I can show up in 29. And I mean, I'm not done releasing stuff because I still want stuff to be released so I can show up in 2020. But 2019 is not over yet. So there's still a lot more room for growth. And my word for this year to manifest in so many different ways. My word for this year is ownership. It started out as responsibility and shifted to ownership. And that intention has manifested in so many different ways. And I'll talk about that later in a later episode about setting your intention for the New Year's and what that looks like and how that works. And, you know, being open and available for the universe to provide you opportunities to step into that word. So you can grow into the bigger version of yourself. All right. So let's get into it. So I have drafted today. I mean, I took a leisure day to get clarity on what it is I wanted to talk to you guys about on this episode. And I made a list of everything that I've learned. And I took that list and I reviewed it and I whittled it down to 28 things that I have learned here for this past year as a 28-year-old in 2019, because Christ almighty, this has been a year, guys. It's been a year. And I know you're feeling me on this one because I'm not the only one that's been like, what the heck happened this year? So many WTF moments, and did that really happen? And I'm oh my God, I am going to do this right now, apparently. Stuff was happening. So the first thing I learned is that I am more resilient than I ever give myself credit for. I have what it takes. I've always had what it takes. And I'm just resilient AF over here because there's been so much adversity in my life. But the hilarious thing is I wasn't giving myself credit for it at all. Hardly at all. Because I was in that shame game, guys. Not shame game. Pulls you right out. But then it also got me to wondering, being like, how many other people, and especially you as a listener, don't give yourself credit for how resilient you freaking are. Even in the moments when you are bawling your eyes out, crying on the floor, crying in the shower, in the car, wherever you have a private moment that no one can see you, because for whatever reason, crying is vulnerability and you can't let anyone see you cry, which is BS. But even in those moments, you have picked yourself up. You've picked yourself up, you've been resilient, and you have moved forward and moved on from it. So give yourself credit for how freaking amazing you are and how resilient you are. The next number two that I learned is I'm stronger than I was yesterday, let alone a year ago. I'm so much stronger than I was a year ago. I, with this year and look back on it, and then I compare myself to last year at this time or whatever time I was in a dark moment and was like, oh my God, I have grown. Yes, even though I am going through it, I am releasing it, I'm healing. The universe has me clearing and understanding and learning and taking ownership of my life in many different ways. And then it's just like, oh my gosh, I am stronger than I once was. There's no doubt about it. I'm stronger mentally. I'm stronger physically. I'm stronger emotionally. And the biggest way I've seen how much growth I have had over this past year to show me how much stronger I am is I don't get swept up in other people's storms anymore. I got so swept up easily in other people's storms and taking on their energy and feeling what they were feeling and less than and feeling icky. And now I'm just like, I see you. I see that storm of yours, but I'm going to be right here. I'm not available to get into your storm, into your chaos. That's for you to learn and grow in. Just like my storm and my chaos is for me to learn and grow in. I don't expect you to get caught in my crosswinds. That was weird. But anyways, I digress. The third thing, before I go into the third thing, also realize how much stronger you freaking are over this past year, a month ago, a day ago, 5 seconds ago. Like, give yourself some street cred on this, please. If you aren't giving yourself street cred, who's going to give you the street cred? It starts with you. I mean, I gave myself a nickname for crying out loud. I wanted a nickname. I always wanted a nickname. And then what broke the camel's back was I was tired of being called Lauren. And Lauren is not my name. So I'm like, all right, here's my nickname. I'm Lo. I am Lo. This is who I am. I am introduced myself as Lo, and we are just going to go forward from there because that is it. And Lo is the person I've been growing into, which is kind of crazy to talk about right now. The third thing I have learned is ownership of my life is a birthright if I choose it to be. Ownership of my life is a birthright if I choose it to be. You guys, you have to choose to own your life and be unapologetic about who you are, what you want. Being unapologetic that, yes, you are fed, but you are never satisfied. That you are always hungry for more to grow and want more. And being ambitious isn't a dirty word. And neither is being independent or having a mind of your own. And it starts with you taking ownership of your life. And then giving yourself permission to dream big and take ownership of what it is that you actually want. That is the biggest thing, is taking ownership of what you want. And that gives you the courage you need to take those courageous steps to make it happen. Because you are always brave. Remember, always brave. You were born brave. You've never stopped being brave. Your courageous steps show you that. And me this year, it has been ownership. Along with being ownership is getting real with myself and being honest with myself and facing myself and just getting real with myself for a sec, because you can't avoid yourself. You can always try to avoid yourself, but you can never avoid yourself. You are with you the longest. So you better ante up, own up to your SHIT, and then move on. Take ownership of yourself. Face yourself. Get real with how you are feeling in that moment. Acknowledge when you mess up and then do the opposite of what you've done before to create the life that you want. It all takes ownership, guys. And it's your birthright if you choose it. So how are you not owning your life? Or how are you owning your life? I mean, there could be areas of your life where you're not owning, and there could be areas of your life where you are owning. But being reflective on what you're not owning helps that tire of your life fill up completely instead of having one jank edge and you're just like blunking on, along the road. Padunk, padunk, padunk. And yeah. So, ownership. Oh my gosh. This next one, number four. There's an episode coming on this next week as well. Boundaries are a lifesaver, and they give me the freedom I am always chasing. Always chasing freedom. Freedom is the number one value of me. Like, don't put me in a box, and if you put me in that box, put me in a box that's unpredictable and does the opposite of whatever people think of her or whatever you think she thinks of you. Like, I'm a renegade. Wherever that came from. I mean, don't box me in, because everyone's a multifaceted human being, myself included. And if you think I'm going to react one way you better expect me to react another way. And it's not always the opposite way you think either. Yep, bag of tricks over here. And it's, you know, boundaries have caused me to get fierce with my time and the people I surround myself with and what content I can consume, what I am and am not available for. Like, there's a whole episode on this, guys. But boundaries are the lifesaver. They're guiding posts. They're what you need. Oh, I could just go on. But boundaries, set them, honor them, own them. And yes, you are worthy of having your boundaries. Someone needs to hear that right now. You're worthy of it. So please set boundaries and fill up your own cup, please. Please, for the love of God, please fill up your own cup and set those boundaries. All right. Number five. I keep whispering really weird. Whatever. Okay, moving on. Avoidance never solves anything. Avoidance never solves anything. You have to walk through the fire. Walk through the valley of the death. You have to go through the trials and the tribulations. Walk on those hot coals. You can't go around them. You can't go above them. You can't go under them. You can't jump over them, which is going above them. You have to go through it. And that's the biggest form of self-care. What you are avoiding, like, take ownership of it and go through it. Go through it. Do the one thing you've been wanting to avoid. The one thing. Remember, the one thing. That one thing that keeps popping up in your mind. And go do it. And give yourself freedom and mental clarity and a sense of peace. Because avoiding is only digging you in a deeper hole. You're falling into that trap of the story that you're telling yourself is real, which is not real. It's complete BS. And you're blowing it out of complete proportion. Like, have you murdered someone? I'm going to guess you didn't. And if you did, don't tell anyone. And because, you know, maybe you should tell anyone. Tell someone. So then go to jail and take ownership of your actions. But I digress. Like, did you actually, like, do something really bad that harmed someone? And I'm going to say 99% of the time you haven't done something that has mortally wounded someone in some way. So don't stop avoiding and just go through the thing. Go through it and see how much stronger you are, how resilient you are, and owning your life like the boss you are, because you are. All right, number six. I no longer seek anyone else's validation. I don't want their validation. I don't need their validation. If I need anyone's validation, it is my own. But I am freaking amazing, whole on my own. Like, I am rocking it. Yes, there are areas in my life and areas I get to improve on, but I am slaying it. And I'm amazing and I'm whole on my own. And I'm whole, when I say I'm whole on my own, even with things that I get to grow in and develop and heal, it means I can stand on my two feet and be okay if someone walks away from me and doesn't see my value. I'm not going to chase you. I don't need your validation. Please, Felicia, I don't need it. Bye. I just don't. Not anymore. And it was a major lesson I learned this year. And it was also through setting boundaries and what I am and am not available for. And it was just interesting how it manifested when I realized that I'm like, I am no longer available for seeking your validation because I'm never going to be good enough for you. Bye, Felicia. I know this person and I had a conversation and I realized that we had this, in the middle of this, having this conversation, and I let things go. Let it go, and I'm just, this person's going to be in my life forever. It's not me. It's a relative. But I realized that I was never going to be good enough for him and that there was always going to be another hurdle for me once I attained the next hurdle he gave me. And I was like, that is BS, and I'm going to go do my own thing now because I don't need your validation, and I don't care if you clamp back at me. I'll clamp back harder. My truth is my truth. All right. So, moving on. I don't need your validation. So, whose validation are you seeking? Maybe ask yourself that. If you feel, if you're people-pleasing, if you're worried about putting yourself out there in some way or shape or form, like, is it a Facebook post about a quirky little fact about you? I mean, girl, I've been there. as well. But if you're wanting to build a business or if you're wanting to create something, you got to put yourself out there. And if you're not putting yourself out there, my question for you, and you're filled with anxiety about it all, my question for you is whose approval you are seeking and why? Why are you seeking that approval? You're a whole and freaking amazing all on your own. Number 7, I have created the support system I've always desired. And I realized that when I stopped thinking it had to look one way. Yep. That was also a lesson in manifestation. I realized I created the support system and I have the people who are have my six and have my back. And it didn't look like what I thought it would look like. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I love the people that I have in my inner circle and the people who are growing into that inner circle or have that opportunity to grow into that inner circle. It's just, I let go of what I thought it should look like. And that was the most freeing thing I could ever do. Because I'm sat here and go, yep, I did manifest it. It doesn't exactly look like what I thought it would look like. But I'm glad it doesn't. I'm so glad it doesn't. So that's a main lesson of manifestation. And yes, I'll do another podcast on that one later. Because I love talking about manifestation. All right. 8. Clarity is queen. Clarity is queen, and clarity comes from consistent action and setting intentions. Set intentions. They provide you a guiding post as you take consistent action to gain clarity on what it is that you want, or clarity on who your audience is, or clarity on the story you want to create, or clarity on the project, or clarity on the business, or the next project with your boss, or having that conversation with your bosses. Setting the intention supports you in gaining that clarity, and taking consistent action adds to it all. You can't sit and contemplate and think and be in dreamland and then get worried you're making a wrong decision when you don't fully know where you're going, but you have an idea of where you're going. So why not take action to get clarity on that? A number one example of that could be is, who's your ideal customer or ideal audience, consumer? What does he or she look like? What does he or she do? Like, you have enough information of the idea of the thing you're wanting to create to solve a problem for someone. You have an idea what it is. So use that as the baseline and build and grow from there and take action and then pivot. Nothing is saying that you have to stay stuck in stone once you make this decision about who your ideal client is. Like, you can shift, change, move on, pivot. I mean, you're a human and you grow, shift, change, and pivot. You're resilient AF, but like, come on, guys, come on. Number 9, the purest form of love isn't saying I love you. It's having someone feel seen by you. The purest form of love is having someone feel seen by you. That is what everyone wants, is to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel like they matter. And I know I said not seeking validation, but when there are moments when you feel so freaking lonely, you just want someone to hold space for you and your messiness to work it out and feel seen, to not coach you, to not sideswipe what is going on. You know what I mean by sideswiping. When you come to someone and lean on them and being like, hey, can we chat about this? They give you advice or be like, oh, that sucks. And, you know, move on. Like, shift. You are senior to your circumstance, which you are senior to your circumstance. But how the hell can you shift if you don't acknowledge the goddamn elephant in the room? You got to acknowledge the elephant in the room before you can start eating the elephant piece by piece. Like, acknowledge the freaking elephant so then you can shift and realize what you're working with instead of stuffing and being like, I'm senior to my circumstance and feeling unseen. the number one reason why most people feel alone is because they feel unseen. They feel unseen by themselves. They feel unseen by their best friends. They feel unseen by their coworkers. They just feel unseen and they just want someone to see them. And how you can achieve someone feeling seen by you is holding space for them. Just holding space and allowing them to be in their messiness and work it out with you. So a lot of times holding space also requires you to have empathy and be an active listener. Be an active listener. What words are they using? And reflect back those words to them. I mean, I do this with my best friend all the time. And this is why our connection and friendship is so deep, is because we see each other in those moments where we are being messy and vulnerable and freaking out and a little weird about what is going on. And the response we give each other all the time is, I see how that is hard. I see what you are going through. It's not easy. And I get that. And I can understand where you are coming from. Simplest thing. And you can also add on there, I see where you are at and I've been there too. And this is what happened. And that builds connection. And when you build that connection, you can offer a piece of advice, but I wouldn't really offer a piece of advice. I call it brainstorming sessions with her when it's like, I see you, this sucks, but have you tried this? Giving them ideas that they show that they're not alone, that you guys can work together on, and coming up with a creative solution to whatever is the problem. If they need that, or it could just be holding space for them and letting them just rant and rave and ask them, be like, okay, are you done? Just being that soundboard. Like, are you complete with that? Is there anything else you need to get off your chest? I mean, greatest thing ever is for someone to feel seen instead of feeling sideswiped and told they need to stuff our emotions. If that doesn't create human connection, that creates walls between humans, and we don't need any more walls between humans. Number 10. Oh my God, this is my favorite. It's one of my favorites. It's not the favorite, but it's one of my favorites. Emotions drive the bus. Always. Emotions drive the bus. So my question for you is, who do you want to be driving your bus? Because emotions are always driving your bus, but are you intentionally choosing what emotions they are? Are you coming from fear? Or are you coming from abundance? Simple question. If you're coming from fear, your emotions are controlling you. 100%. Your ego is controlling you. Your negative Nancy, whatever. Your Esther, as I call her and for me. They're controlling you. But even though you know emotions drive the bus, you can choose differently. You can. For an example for me is I don't like it when I'm reactionary, when I get triggered by anything, and I like taking a pause, so I can be proactive instead of feeling reactionary and coming from that negative space and feeling like I'm behind and just running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Like, I value coming from a place of clarity and not being reactionary. So I don't want reaction driving the bus. I want proactiveness to be driving my bus. I want joy and happiness to be driving my bus. I want doing the opposite of whatever made me feel crappy to drive my bus. Not scarcity, not fear, not self-doubt, self-judgment, blame, and all of that. Like, no. My higher self and her emotions get to drive my bus. So, emotions drive the bus, always. And once you understand what emotion is driving the bus, you can correct it. You feel seen. You acknowledge that elephant in the room, guys. And once you know that, you can shift, grow, maneuver, pivot, whatever, and move on and choose differently instead of being reactionary and being on autopilot. Autopilot ain't fun. It's not fun. It is not fun. Number 11. Starting for your before you're ready is BS. Let me say that again. Starting before you're ready is a load of crap. Yes, I'm probably going to get flack for this. I really don't care, because there has to be some point where you feel secure and whole enough and yourself to go off and take that risk and do the thing. I say this because I've been manifesting this podcast for over 2 years now, guys. Over 2 years. I have had my mic for over 2 years, and I've tried to create a podcast and it just didn't work because I wasn't whole and complete, feeling whole and complete within myself enough that I could put myself out there and be vulnerable and not care what other people thought. Like, I had a major life lesson to learn before I could do that. And no, I wasn't completely ready when I started this, but I was ready enough and secure in what my vision was and what I wanted to create that I was ready enough to take the leap. So that's where I say starting before you're ready is complete BS. It's like, it's really not like jumping off a cliff, because you can jump off a cliff before you're ready anyway. Like, you prepare to jump off the cliff when you climb up the cliff and you get ready that way, and then you leap into the unknown of the water. But I mean, I don't have a great analogy for what it's like to start before you're not ready. It's like eating your favorite dessert that's undercooked because you were just impatient. That's a weird analogy, but guys, no. Waiting before you're ready. Start before you're ready is complete BS. It's complete BS. I'm trying really hard not to swear, guys, clearly. But it is. I don't believe in it, because you have to create some foundational pieces within you. And if you start before you're ready and you don't have those core foundational pieces within yourself, it's going to crumble and it's going to be a bust. And then you're going to be negative zero, not ground zero, when you start over again. So starting before you're ready, I don't believe in it. I don't. I'll just leave it there. You can make up your own mind about it. 12, your body knows before your head does. This is an important one. Your body knows before your head does. So check in with yourself. And how I do that, the simplest form of getting into your body is like, ask yourself a question about if you want something. It could be anything. It could be, do I want that lollipop? And if your shoulders physically roll over and you hunker down, you don't want it. You don't. It feels heavy in your body. You're just like, I'll take the lollipop, but I don't really want the lollipop. Don't take the lollipop. Your body is saying no. It's saying no. But if you ask yourself, do I want the lollipop? And you sit up straighter, your shoulders roll back and down, your chest opens and expands, and you feel lighter. You want the lollipop. Take the lollipop. That is also what a hell yes decision feels in your body. When you sit up straighter, you feel open and expansive, you feel light, your shoulders are back, and you're just like, okay, I'm ready to do this. I like this opportunity. What is this opportunity? I want to do it. But if there's an opportunity that presents yourself when you're like, your body's like hunched over, you're getting into a ball, like protective mode, and you feel like heavy and icky, no, don't do it, sister. None of that. Especially if there's a man you're trying to decide if you like or not, and your head is getting in your way of making that decision, not your heart. Your head is getting in your way, because it does most of the time. Ask yourself that question and notice what's in your body, how your body reacts. And if your body doesn't like the person, then say bye, Felicia, and be thank you for the lesson. You're a wonderful human, but I do not like you, and I do not want you in that way. So go have fun enjoying your life, and thank you for the lesson. It's really simple and easy. Your body knows. Your body knows before your head does. Why do you think there has been so much study on body language and using it how to interpret how if people are into you? I mean, I do it all the time. I just know enough to be dangerous, guys, to be like, oh, that person's into me, that person's not into me, oh, that person's guarded with me at the moment. Let me check myself, my energy, and shift into being open and vulnerable, and let's have a chat. Like, we always do, instead of being closed off and being like, no, I don't want to talk to you about that vulnerable thing right now. But I want to talk to you about it because we're friends. Anyways, I digress. So your body knows before your head does. Yeah, it's just get out of your head and get into your body. Create some sort of movement. Physical activity is great. Like I mentioned earlier in this episode, I have a coach. She does many things for me because it supports me in getting in my body and me taking ownership. And, you know, when I'm distracted with working out and then whatever comes out of my mouth is the authentic thing because my head isn't catching up, I'd be like, oh, crap. Oh, what did I just say? Yeah, awesome sauce. Okay, going from there. Number 13, never underestimate the power of a good wax. Enough said. Just never underestimate the power of a good wax. Yep, just never underestimate it. Never underestimate the power of a good wax. It's like you're starting fresh and getting rid of the luck. 14, I'd rather bet on myself than be on the hamster wheel of death. And the hamster wheel of death, guys, is my term for rat race. Because I envision the hamster wheel of death of being on a wheel like a hamster does and running on the wheel, consistently running on a wheel and getting nowhere and feeling exhausted and getting nowhere and then being on the hamster wheel of death. No, thank you. No, thank you. I mean, I'm also no longer available for feeling like I'm a number, which is what happens when you're on the hamster wheel of death. You are working for someone's approval. You're working for someone else's dreams. You're unhappy with your life, but you're constantly on this hamster wheel of death of productivity in the workplace because you're afraid of so many different things. Fire, doing your job wrong, getting yelled at your boss. I don't even know. You know what it is. But you're on this hamster wheel of death, running, trying to prove yourself, but you're just a number to whatever company that you're working for. You're a byline. They get to keep, if there's a budget cut that needs, you might be that cut. Just a number. No, no longer available for that. I am no longer available to work for or be a part of or be associated with organizations that make people feel like a number like I was before. Because it doesn't feel good in my body. And I'm a human too. So I'm betting on myself. If I'm going to be on the hamster wheel of death to anywhere, which I'm not going to be because it's proving my worth to someone else, it's like I'm going to die by my own sword. I'm going to bet on me. I'm going to work towards for what I want. I'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. But if things are temporary for me, like working for someone to learn things, I will do that 100%. But it's my life, my dream, and I'm going to live it. So I'm not available for feeling like a number, and I'm not available for being on the hamster wheel of death. I'm just not. I'm not. You can have that rat race. Someone else can have that rat race. 15. Change the way you speak to yourself, you change your life. Change the way you speak to yourself, and you change your life. Words have power. They have power. So much power. Like, check in on how you speak to yourself. What word you are using. Are you in self-beat-up mode 99% of the time or 100% of the time? Do you say things like you aren't smart and words are hard? Do you keep calling yourself an F-up when you do something wrong or make a mistake? Like, how do you talk to yourself? Seriously. And you can start switching it with the basics, not to get in self-beat up. It's all about a self-awareness, guys. Everything is about self-awareness. It's not to be in self-beat up or shaming or judgment. Like, get real with yourself and honest with how you talk about yourself. There was an episode that I realized I say like way too much. And so I decided right then and there to limit how often I say like. It was bad. But I still posted it because I wanted to see the growth and I wanted to show someone out there what it is, what it's like starting from the bottom to get where you're at. No, here. Okay. But words are so important. They have power. I mean, I have gotten fierce, like I said, with my boundary lines is who do I surround myself and how do they talk to themselves. If they consistently talk crap about themselves, and they're not willing to make tiny shifts to realize and talk better to themselves, I do not surround myself with those people. I limit my interaction with them as possible because I don't want to be around that negativity. Like, if you're shit-talking yourself, you're going to be shit-talking other people. There I go, swearing again. But I can't help it. Like, let's get real, guys. How are you talking to yourself? And yes, would you talk to your best friend like that? If you talk to your best friend like that, like, I'm going to have a conversation with your best friend about how she deserves to be treated if you do that. But really, why are you crapping on yourselves? And start simple with the simplest mantra. I know this is cheesy, but I used to say words were hard. Anytime I stumbled over my words and got tongue-tied, I would say words are hard, and they would reinforce the idea that I don't know how to communicate because I don't know how to use words, which is complete BS because words are easy. That's what I changed the mantra to, words are easy. And every time I get tongue-tied or stumble over my words, I tell myself aloud, words are easy so I can hear it. I don't care if there's someone in front of me. I am willing to get laughed at and have a chuckle over that because it's so important to me how I talk to myself and that words are actually easy. I was a journalism major and then law school legal writing destroyed my confidence in my communication. And since then I've been rebuilding it, and that is words are easy. But it's a simple mantra to shift. Just one little shift raises all the boats in the harbor, guys. You don't need to be on yourself like a speech teacher is with the washers and a tin can, throwing the washer and tin can every time you say and the, like, the or whatever filler word you have. It's not, you don't need to get to that level. So, okay. So change the way you speak to yourself, you change your life. You do. You have a brighter perspective of the world, and you're more inclined to see the possibilities and opportunities than the less thans and withouts. So that's it. 16. Oh, God. I'm still learning this one, guys. But it's something I learned and I'm deepening on. Because vulnerability is my superpower, but that's not what I learned. If you ask me anything, vulnerability is my superpower. I do everything and anything that makes me feel vulnerable. So, with that, intimacy deepens relationships. Intimacy deepens relationships and is a deeper layer of vulnerability and requires you to be different shades of vulnerability. And communication is key for this, guys. Communicate. Intimacy deepens relationships. There have been many times where, and I hate texting for this, so many miscommunications happen with texting, especially with me and a particular person. But I have learned to be vulnerable and say, hey, I don't know if you meant to say this, but this triggered me, and this is how I'm feeling right now, and this is what's up. This is what's going on for me. And communicating that to achieve that is scary as hell because I'm being vulnerable and sharing my feelings or how I'm feeling in that moment, where before I would just shut down, end the communication, and then be like, that's a horrible person. I'm mad at that person. And they are just, bye, Felicia. Like, no, not going to talk to them about it because they're not going to understand and they're being a-holes right now. So, or jerk faces, whatever. But I don't, like, want to be that way. A reaction. That's a reaction. And how I would react before. And now I'm just like, let's do the opposite. Let's create intimacy, which requires vulnerability. And no, guys, I'm not talking about creating intimacy when you get your clothes off and get naked with this person. No. You can be intimate with someone and talk to them about your feelings and what is going on and have them know what demons you are fighting. And so they can support you in fighting those demons and overcoming them yourself. I mean, everyone is fighting demons. True intimacy is sharing that with someone and still being loved and accepted by that person for who you are. But it requires different shades of vulnerability, different levels of vulnerability, and communication is key. Communication is key in any relationship, and communicating your feelings and what is up for you is so important so that no one is guessing and everyone is on the same page. And if you don't have clarity, ask questions. Ask questions. Ask those questions and feel awkward for a moment instead of feeling like an a-hole later. It saves a lot of heartache, guys. 17. My emotions will not break me. They make me stronger. My emotions will not break me. They make me stronger. And I can't take ownership of this mantra. I mean, I take ownership of this mantra because I tell myself that. But my best friend gave me this mantra. In a time where I was bawling my eyes out, getting so frustrated at myself because I didn't understand why I was crying and being emotional. For me, for a while, I had to know why I was crying and why I was being emotional so I could fix it. I couldn't just be in the mess of the emotions. And I had to fix it because I believed that my emotions would cripple me and are a weakness. When my emotions make me stronger and they will not break me. And I would say this mantra over and over again in my head. Anytime I had a moment where I didn't understand what was going on and I was resisting having these emotions, even though the tears were running down my eyes like the Grand Rapids. And being okay with that. And along with that, like, breathe through it. Breathe to flow through the fight. It's like you have to go through the thing. You can't avoid it. You have to go through it. It's the same thing here. You have to feel your emotions to navigate them. And no, they will not break you. They make you stronger. Like, please, like, they will not break you. Your emotions will never break you. They make you stronger. They crack you open. They show you where you need to heal or where you have healed. But your emotions will not break you. They make you stronger. And you gotta breathe through it to flow through the fight. 100%. 18. I trust myself. I trust myself. I trust myself, and trust requires vulnerability, openness, and surrender. It's what trust requires. And this whole year, I have been learning to trust myself in the concrete jungle like I do in the wilderness. I can walk into the wilderness and be 100% confident. I will come back where I started. I won't come the same way I did to come back where I started. I will never get lost in the woods, that I will always find water, and that whatever obstacle or challenge I face, I will be able to overcome it. There hasn't been anything yet I have been able to overcome. And it's translating that trust and that intuition, that instinct, into the concrete jungle and trusting that when I'm being inundated with so much stuff and trying to block it out, that I know what's best for me and I know how to navigate it and I will always find what I need. And that no matter what challenge I face, I am resilient and can get over it and make that challenge look like a piece of cake. Even when it didn't feel like a piece of cake, guys. 100%. 19. The universe will always do for you what you cannot. The universe will always do for you what you cannot, and the universe always has your back. Always has your back, guys. It always does. It's always redirecting you. It's always presenting you with lessons to learn to get you ready for what you want, to build that capacity for what you want. And if you can't do it, the universe will do it for you. And the universe will throw you into the fiery pits of hell when you're resisting it and know you have to go through those fiery pits of hell. Like, the universe will do it. I had a crash course of that back in October when I was a budget cut. Yep, I was a budget cut where at the firm I was working at. And I remember saying if I was still working there in October, I'd be crying. And look how it manifested and the universe did for me. And I was not happy at that job, guys. It was not a good fit. I was not happy. It was soul sucking. And, you know, I was treated like a number and a hamster wheel of death again. So the universe does for you what you cannot. And it always has your back. It always has your back. Which transitions into That was really weird and awkward, guys. Let's acknowledge that. Again, stumbling over words. Words are easy. 20. Transitioning into 20, when you ask the universe for support in your healing and releasing, whatever it may be, show up for the lesson. The universe will provide you with a lesson, so show up for the lesson. Please, show up for the lesson. Otherwise, the lesson is going to get harder and the baseball bat is going to come around with barbed wire and not some pretty pink glittery thing. No. If you ask for it, show up for the lesson. And I can say I learned this when this year, more, it was reinforced this year. But I learned this back in 2017. 3 months before I started emotional intelligence and leadership training, I asked the universe to heal my man story. I had a particular man story in mind, and I was just like, all right, universe, I want to heal it. Lo and behold, a man presented himself in my life, and I was like, oh, crap, I am being triggered right now. And here is an opportunity to learn the lesson and heal my man story. I asked for it, and I showed up for it, guys. Best decision I have ever made, even though this person drives me up a wall sometimes and triggers so many other man stories that I have that I'm like, oh my God, have I healed yet? Is there going to be some other man that's going to trigger these stories in me? Or is it just this person at the moment? Whatever, I digress. But I showed up for the lesson and I keep showing up for the lesson. Whatever is presented to me, if I ask for it, like now, today, yesterday I asked for healing and release and I showed up for the lesson today, this morning, at my coaching session. Riding all of the emotions and taking ownership of where I'm at. I showed up. I asked for the lesson. I show up. It's just like I want things to be released so I can take 2020 by the horns. And so I'm going to do the work, and I'm going to show up when the lessons present themselves. Because the only way is through, guys. The only way is through. And the universe has my back. Like, it's there to support you. If you ask for it, show up. Then why ask for it in the first place if you're not willing to show up? You ask for it, and by asking for it means you are ready. So you can't give me the BS excuse. Well, I'm not ready. You are. Because you asked. At some level, you are ready. Your soul is ready, and that's why you're asking. That's why you're doing. That's why you're creating. Whatever it may be. 21. No one has it figured out. No one has it figured out, and we're all learning as we go. No one has it figured out, and we are all learning as we go. And clarity comes from consistent action. Remember earlier when I said clarity is queen? Yeah, that comes from consistent action. And understanding that you're not always going to have all the answers. No one ever has all the answers. You don't know what's going to pop up on your radar. You can't plan for the act of God. The act of God happens and you pivot. And you figure it out. But no one has it figured out. And this is where self-doubt is. Fear's dirty little evil mistress. Self-doubt is fear's dirty little evil mistress. Just because you don't know doesn't and don't have it all figured out doesn't mean you don't get to take the steps towards it. You have it figured out enough. You are ready enough to take action. So keep going and keep starting and building and going from there. It's really simple. It is really easy, guys. Harder done than said, but no one has it figured out. And the people who are like, yeah, I got it all figured out, I would challenge them. I would challenge them hardcore and be like, are you sure? Because the last time I checked, you were a human and not a robot. So how do you have it all figured out? Please enlighten me on this. Yes, and remember, self-doubt is fear's dirty little evil mistress. No one has it figured out, so have fun along the way. Like, stop making it hard and have fun. Bring back your childlike self. Like, when you were a child, you tried all the things. You had fun. No one was telling you you couldn't do it. Like, you didn't know a lot of things. You didn't know a lot of things about the world. But yet you presented curiosity and went for it. So go do the thing. Go for it. Figure it out. Bring some playfulness, some curiosity. There's no room for judgment and self-doubt when you bring curiosity and playfulness to the table. Like, no, bye, Felicia. 22. I understand the value of being broken, lost, and the feeling alone has. I understand the value of feeling alone, feeling broken, and feeling lost. It's all to support you to find yourself and shows you what you are really made of and who you are in those moments. Those moments are also those moments when you reach out and realize you have the support system you've always desired and wanted. Always. There's so much value there. If you're in the middle of it right now, just breathe and know that the answers are coming and that you're going to be better than okay, and you are learning more about yourself than you will ever learn. Because you're going through it and you'll be okay. It's okay to feel broken. It's okay to feel lost. It's okay to feel alone. It's not okay to stay there. It is not okay to stay there and use that as an excuse. And the thing about being broken, guys, is once you're broken, no one can ever break you. Nothing can ever break you because you have learned to rebuild yourself and who you are, what you stand for, what you value, what your boundaries are, and really who you are as a person. And that is with anyone who has rebuilt themselves. They can never be broken, no matter how hard people will try. And people try, guys. People try to break you hard to fit in whatever mold they think you should be fitting in, no matter what it is. But they can't break you because you have rebuilt yourself, you've rebuilt your life, and you know who you are as a person. And you're able to think for yourself and make decisions for yourself and see things that other people don't see. And that's the value of losing yourself and feeling broken, feeling lost, and feeling alone and confused. All of it. It's all to find yourself. Trust me on this one. Trust me. I know it's hard, but just trust me and go through it. You'll be okay. The answers will come, flow through your emotions. They do not break you. They make you stronger. And your emotions give you clarity. That transitions into 23. You are never alone. You are never alone. Just have the courage to reach out and talk to someone and allow them to hold space for you and see the magic that comes from it. The magic. So much magic comes from it when you are vulnerable and you reach out for support in your darkest hours. 24. Your voice matters. Your voice matters. Your power matters. You matter always. Your voice matters. Your power matters. You matter always. Always. I don't need to explain any more on that. You matter. Your voice matters. Your power matters. You matter. Always. 100%. Always, always, always. It's one of my mantras, guys. And it's what I say consistently and why I created this podcast is to remind people that, one, they're not alone, and two, your voice freaking matters because you matter. And so does your power and your worth. You just all matter. Always. And the sooner that you adopt that, the sooner you become unstoppable and change the world and change your life. 25. You are the only one who is going to be constant in your life, and you are going to change too. So I guess change is the only constant in your life. But you're the only one in your life. Everything is changing. You're allowed to change. You grow. You let go of things. You release. You find a bigger version of yourself. You let go of things that no longer served you that once did. So change is always happening around you. And it's the only constant thing, and you are the only constant thing in your life. So get on and have fun with it. Otherwise, you die before you're even 6 feet in the ground. And no one wants to live a life where they get to 82 or 762 and be like, oh my God, what have I been doing with my life? been trying to be a stick in the mud, staying in the comfort zone, not growing, not changing, and where does it get you? Death before you even die, guys. That's morbid, but it's true. I mean, it just reminds me of what my grandfather has told me all my life, that the two things that are for certain are the fact that you were born and the fact that you will die. Those are the two things that are for certain, and everything in between is up to you. And the most important thing you possess is between your ears. Let me say that again, because that's been an important lesson and mantra that I have gone back to my entire life. Two things are for certain in this life: the fact that you were born and the fact that you will die. Everything else in between is up to you, which means you have the power to change it. And the most important thing you possess is between your ears. And that's the tool you use to change your life and create the things that you see that are missing in this world. As simple as that. 26. There is always another way. Ask for it and be patient as the universe shows you the way. And this could be an intuition ping, a gut instinct, a question, something your intuition tells you to contact someone. There is always another way. I mean, my whole life, I've always saw what people have done and I go, there has to be another way. There has to be a better way. There's always another way. There's always a better way. There's always something different to try to improve on. You just need to be patient enough and ask the universe for support to show you the other way and give you those little breadcrumbs as you build and create your life. Like, there's always another way, guys. Number 27. You can never convince someone they are good enough to be in your life and are good enough for you if they don't believe it themselves. If someone doesn't believe they're good enough, you can't convince them otherwise. There is nothing you can do. Yes, you can do stuff to show them, but if they don't believe it for whatever messed up story they are telling themselves and not taking you for your word and being, when you're like, yo, I think you're pretty rad, I want you in my life. You're good enough to be in my life because I decided, because you're good enough as who you are. You don't need to prove your worth to me. You don't need to feel like you have to do something to feel good enough in my life. Like, I see you, I want you in my life. So that's how it is. And if you don't believe you're good enough to be in my life, then I can't convince you otherwise. I can't. You have to decide that for yourself. Like, believing you're good enough is a decision you make for yourself. You don't make it for anyone else but yourself. That has been a massive lesson. It goes back to like seeking validation. I'm like, that person doesn't believe they're good enough, so I'm never going to be good enough in their eyes, no matter what I do. Okay, fine. I can't convince you you're good enough to be good enough in your own life, and you're looking through me through those lenses of not being good enough, so bye, Felicia. Bye. And the final lesson of 28. Oh, God, I've been resisting this one like so hard, guys, for a long time. Because people, ever since I started down this personal development journey and creating what I'm creating now and creating my coaching programs as well for people, that I'm a shot of whiskey and not a cup of tea. I was trying to be the cup of tea, crapping on myself for being this wildly ambitious woman who has so much drive and so much clarity and so much experience for my bright young age that a lot of people don't have, and that I do go down smooth and have a kick at the end, just like a shot of whiskey. And owning that has me taking responsibility for my life and ownership and being okay with being a disruptor, because I've been a disruptor my whole life. I used to call myself the fixer. I see a problem and I fix it. I see what's not working in your organization and I amend myself to fix the thing, to make sure the wheels are all running together and smoothly. So I'm a disruptor and I'm here to wake you up and not try to be your, like, people-pleasing friend that seeks value and seeks your validation and all of that. No, I'm a shot of whiskey. And I bet on myself. Like, I'm betting on myself, my own dreams. I actually beat to my own drum. I've been beating to my own drum my whole life, no matter how hard I try to fit in to the mainstream and society and be accepted by others, the popular kids, even though I'm a cool kid myself. Like, I beat to my own drum. And there are just some things that I just see, not necessarily people my age, because I've gotten so much exposure to different age groups and demographics, that a lot of it is I'm not available for a lot of things. Or I don't understand, like, gossiping. I don't understand gossiping. Or trying to make some, actually, I kind of understand gossiping. It's a thing that people do to create bonds or fake bonds that they think are authentic are actually inauthentic. But what I don't understand is trying to make someone jealous. Why waste your time on trying to make someone jealous? If they don't want you or see your value or your worth, bye, Felicia. Like, I see it all the time. And I've seen it in men, too, who try to make me jealous. And I know the game that they're playing. And I'm not going to play it. You have the confidence and balls to come talk to me and tell me how you're really feeling. But if you're trying to make me jealous, that's what little boys do. And I'm not available for little boys. But really, like, someone to explain to me why you want to make your ex jealous. Why? They're your ex for a reason. They're not with you right now. Like, why? Why do you want, like, why? Why? I could go all day on that. I just don't understand that. But as I'm a shot of whiskey, not a cup of tea, I also have the blinders on now. I am not chasing and comparing myself to anyone but my past self and the person I am chasing, because I don't chase anyone, but if I'm going to be chasing someone, it's going to be the 10-year-old version of who I am. Older. Not the 10-year-old that I was. Like, the 10-year-old older version of who I am. So, who I am at 39 versus 29, or who I am at 38 versus 28. I'm chasing that version of myself to get better. Who is she? What is she doing? My higher self. How can I improve? What would my higher self do? I want that person. And I have my blinders on. And I only look back to see what I can improve on and where my blind spots were and what I missed to grow and evolve into a better version of myself. I mean, it's all about falling in love with yourself before someone else does. Like, how can someone fall in love with you if you don't fall in love with yourself first? Like, you can't tell someone how you want to be loved and how you want to be treated if you don't fall in love with yourself first. If you don't feel whole with yourself first, then that relationship's going to be a bust. Because two half-whole people don't make a whole person. You get to be whole on your own. It should be two whole people coming together for a partnership and being like, I see you, I accept you, that is your crap, but I'm here to help you unload it. I'm not going to take it on, just like I don't expect you to take on my crap. Help me unload it and help me work through it in this life instead of being like, oh, fill me up. No, two half people do not make a whole person. I don't care if you believe in twin flames, soulmates, other half, whatever. Two half people do not make a whole person. Two whole people make a partnership and a relationship that will last a lifetime. And that starts with you being whole on yourself and being independent and fierce and knowing who you are. Maybe it is you're taking ownership and being that shot of whiskey and not that cup of tea, or if it's in the States, that cup of coffee, because everyone drinks coffee. Lots of people drink coffee. I limit my coffee intake. I rarely have coffee now. But the point is, be the shot of whiskey. And that has, I mean, inspired this, the title of this episode. Because I can remember when the first time I heard that and kept hearing it consistently, where I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to be the shot of whiskey. That's hard. That's bad. No one likes a woman who's a shot of whiskey. Okay, well, people do. And I get to call BS on that own story. So I'm a shot of whiskey and I'm okay with it, guys. And with these reflections, it's really like, what's the whole point? To see how far I've come. Take ownership of that. Take ownership of my voice. Speak authentically. Be vulnerable with you guys and be like, it's been a year. The last few months alone, I have seen so much growth in myself, and I needed my healing and my emotions to catch up to me because I was playing the avoidance game. But this also sets me up for realizing and creating and seeing how I've created that strong foundation for 2020 and as I chase 30. Like, yes, guys, I turned 29, but I'm chasing 30. And what that looks like to me is my year of yes. It's where I say yes to myself, to saying yes to the things I want to do and creating. Yes to, I have 3 major goals this year that's by the time I turn 30, they're happening, and this would make it an epic year for me. And it is scary, fun, terrifying, exciting, magical. I don't even know what opportunities are coming my way or that I'm available for now because I'm decided to chase 30. And I decided to chase 30 back in September because I didn't want to be like everyone else who was just like, oh my God, I'm 30 and my life is over. I'm like, no, I don't want to be like that. Age is just a number and I don't let numbers define me. I never do. So then why would I let my age define me? Why would I be like everyone else who's like, oh my God, I'm 30, my life is over. No. How about I make 29 one of the best years of my life so that I can end cap my 20s, celebrate what I have created and gone through, celebrate what I create over this next year, being full-time in my coaching business, public speaking around the states and getting paid for the speaking gigs, have my podcast blow up to 100 million unique downloads and get those sponsorships and get the help I need and the support I need to create and grow this business because I know my voice deserves to be heard and that inspires so many people and that people need to know my perspective and that, I mean, I really do this for whatever, there's like at least one girl out there, like one little girl needs to hear that she's not alone and see that my story is similar to her story and that she isn't alone and that is the shift for her. I mean, seeing the type of relationship and partnership, romantic partnership I want in this life and see it in examples through Rachel Hollis and Dave Hollis, The Skinny Confidential, Lauren and Michael, Julianne Hough and Brooks Likes, and Will Smith and Jada and all of those relationships, Blake and Ryan Reynolds, like all of those relationships, those are true partnerships. Two whole people coming together and working through things. And that's what I want. Look, when you look up hashtag relationship goals, my face is going to be there with my man. But, I mean, that's what I'm creating. That was an interesting and showing people what it is it looks like. I mean, it's why I created the whole podcast is to show other women what is possible for them. And eventually I will have men on here, very particular scope of men, men supporting these driven women, men supporting driven women, because I don't believe that we should pit the sexes against each other when I know I'm a product of men as well. I've had strong men in my life support me, create the mindset that I have, and told me to be who I am and say F to the world who told me to be something different. And that I've also had women who are in my life who defied things, who were one of the first in something or were doing unconventional things in a time of convention. I'm a product of all of that, and, you know, in order for those women to do that, there had to be men who were fierce and vulnerable and thinking there needs to be another way and start building up those other women and then showing men what it is like to coexist and work together with women, that there isn't one sex that is greater than the other sex. So it's a very, very narrow scope of men, but they also need to have their voice heard too, because I do not think it's fair to say the blanket statement that men are bad and that we don't need men. No, there are some men who are jerk faces and a-holes and can go where the sun don't shine. But there are also men out there who are supporting these driven women. There are examples of it, and not changing them for who they are. And we need more of that. Just like we need more women showing the path that they are taking, whether they are in corporate or they're creating their own business. We're all going after the same thing, guys. We just look at it different and use different language. So as soon as we learn to the same that we're speaking the same thing in each other's language, like, how much more opportunities and how freeing is that? So that's my whole intention. I've taken some ownership of things I intend to create next year in 2020 as I trace 30. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it all, guys. Even though it was tough for me to record this episode and it's taking me this long. And thank you guys so much. I mean, this podcast is barely a month old, and it's really awesome to see the feedback that I've been getting and the guests that are coming on and the conversations that I'm having. Like, I'm so excited to share this with you guys. And yeah, and just, it's just important to me because everyone has a story and everyone needs to know they're not alone, because they matter always. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.